Welcome back to the deep dive. So, I have to be honest with you, right out of the gate, when I saw the source material for today, I almost put it at the bottom of the stack. The title is Fit Fashion.
It doesn't exactly scream existential philosophy, does it?
Not even close. My brain went straight to, the usual suspects: moisture-wicking fabrics, athleisure trends, maybe a debate on whether you can wear gym shorts to a nice dinner.
Right.
I was fully prepared for a brand review or something on gym aesthetics. I mean, you see fitness and fashion together and you just think commerce, not consciousness.
Which is exactly the trap. It's the trap the fitness industry and, frankly, the fashion industry wants us to fall into.
Right.
We're conditioned to just look at the surface.
Yeah.
But once you actually open the text, which is this thing called The Deeper Foundation by a creator named Will, you realize this wasn't about matching sets.
Oh, it was a bit of a whiplash moment. Seriously, I felt like I walked into a clothing store and stumbled into a therapy session. This is not a brochure, it's a manifesto. It's looking at the why behind all the physical work we do. And it centers on this really gnarly question that I think most of us try to avoid.
Which is,
What does it mean to honor the body without turning it into something that has to perform?
and that phrase, something that has to perform, that's the linchpin here.
It is.
Just think about the modern fitness landscape.
Yeah.
It's entirely based on performance and display.
100%.
It's about the PR on the whiteboard,
Yeah.
the transformation photo on Instagram,
Yeah.
the Strava stats. We treat the body like a machine that exists to produce data or aesthetics.
Or validation. I mean, let's be real. If you run a marathon and don't post the medal photo, did you even run it? That's the culture.
That is the culture.
Yeah.
But this text is pushing back hard against that whole hustle mentality.
Yeah, it's arguing for a shift from using your body as like a tool for status to something else entirely. Talks about stewardship, stillness, and unseen discipline.
And I think for our listeners, specifically the learners, who might be feeling a little burnt out by that constant demand to optimize everything, this is going to resonate.
I think so too.
But we need to be careful not to just treat these as nice buzzwords. The concepts here are actually quite demanding if you take them seriously.
Well, let's start with the biggest one. The text explicitly redefines discipline.
Okay.
And I feel like discipline has a massive PR problem. When I hear that word, I think of punishment. I think of a ruler on the wrist or waking up at 4 a.m. because you hate yourself and need to pay for the pizza you ate last night.
It feels corrective.
Exactly, it feels
That's the
correct.
standard narrative, right? Discipline as penance. We view the body as this, I don't know, unruly thing that needs to be beaten to submission.
For sure.
But the source material just flips that. It says, I don't see discipline as punishment or control. It uses the word stewardship.
Okay, but can I play devil's advocate here for a second?
Please do.
Is that just, semantics? Is calling it stewardship just a softer way to make us do the same old squats?
Right. Does it actually change anything?
Yeah, does it change the mechanics of what we're actually doing?
I think it changes the mental load entirely.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about the difference between ownership and stewardship
Okay.
in a capitalist framework, which is basically how we treat our bodies, right?
Right, as an asset.
Exactly. Ownership means you can do whatever you want with it. You can exploit it, you can run it into the ground, leverage it for short-term gains.
Like, if I own a car, I can redline it until the engine blows up just to look cool leaving a parking lot. It's my car.
That's your right as the owner. But stewardship is different. Stewardship implies that the object isn't yours. It has been entrusted to you. You are the caretaker of a heritage site, or you're borrowing a priceless instrument. You can't just trash it for a quick thrill. You have a duty to maintain it, to honor the giver, and to keep it in good condition.
That distinction actually adds a layer of pressure, doesn't it? But a different kind.
How so?
Well, if I own my body, the pressure is vanity. I need it to look good so people like me. If I'm a steward, the pressure is responsibility.
But the text argues that responsibility is actually lighter than vanity.
Really?
Yeah. Vanity is a bottomless pit. You can never get enough validation.
Stewardship has a clear goal: care.
Okay.
The source lists what the body is not, and this is crucial. It says the body is not a billboard, not a product, and not proof.
Not proof. That one hit me.
Right.
Because we absolutely use our bodies as proof. Proof that we're hardworking, proof that we're disciplined, proof that we have our lives together. Look at my abs. Clearly, I'm a high-functioning executive.
We treat the body like a resume, But if you strip that away, if your body is just a vessel you are responsible for maintaining, then the motivation for training shifts.
It has to.
You aren't destroying your joints to hit a PR just to impress strangers. Mm-hmm. You're training to ensure the vessel functions well for as long as possible.
So it moves from look at me to I'm taking care of what I was given. Precisely. It removes the ego. And when you remove the ego, you remove the desperation. You stop needing to sell your fitness to the world.
Which brings us to the visual side of this whole fit fashion idea. Because the text talks a lot about imagery, which makes sense. The source is a creative director.
Right.
But it focuses on a very specific type of imagery, stillness.
And this is where the source goes fully contrarian. The fitness industry is obsessed with kinetic energy. Sweat flying, muscle straining, mid-sprint blur.
Yeah, motion is the currency. We equate motion with progress.
Well, motion is exciting. Motion looks like work.
Yeah.
Stillness looks like nothing.
Or it looks like laziness.
Or, as the source suggests, motion is a hiding place. The text says motion can hide things.
Oh, that's interesting.
And think about that in a practical sense. If you're moving fast enough, no one can see that your form is terrible. You can use momentum to mask a lack of strength.
You can totally fake competence if the shutter speed is fast enough.
You can. It's the fake it till you make it of biomechanics.
Yeah.
But if you have to just stand there.
You're exposed.
You're completely exposed. The source argues that stillness reveals the fundamentals. Posture. Breath. Presence. Restraint. You can't hide poor posture in stillness. You can't hide shallow breathing.
You are just there exactly as you are.
It reminds me of that feeling when you walk into a really loud gym weight slamming, music blaring, and it feels easier to work out because you can get lost in the noise.
Yeah.
But working out in total silence, just you and your breath.
That is unnerving.
Yep.
It really is.
It's unnerving because it forces confrontation with the self. The text calls stillness reverence.
Not absence or emptiness.
No, it's reverence. It's a moment where the body stops trying to prove something and is simply acknowledged.
I liked the description of the portraits as quiet, a quiet portrait. We're so used to loud images, images that scream, I am aggressive, or I am sexy, or I am powerful.
And a quiet image just says,
I am here.
Exactly. And in a culture of constant noise, I am here is a radical statement. It's an invitation to stop performing.
Which I think is the perfect bridge to the next section because it's the core of this whole philosophy, the unseen work.
Yes. The text is huge on discipline without an audience. This is the litmus test for the whole stewardship concept.
For sure.
It mentions early mornings, repetition, and choosing restraint when no one would know otherwise.
Last part is the kicker, when right. No one would know otherwise.
It's the dinner party test.
What's that?
You know, you're at a dinner, there's a massive basket of breadsticks. If you don't eat them because you're on a diet and you want your friends to say, wow, you have such willpower, that's performance.
Right.
But what happens at 11:30 p.m., you're alone in the kitchen, the lights are off, and there's leftover pizza.
That is the moment of truth.
Exactly. If your discipline collapses the second the audience leaves, it was never discipline. It was just theater. The source argues that identity formed in private carries weight.
Let's talk about that term weight, because we usually talk about weight in fitness as something we want to lose or something we put on the bar, but this is like existential weight.
Yeah.
Think about gravity or density.
Mm-hmm.
The text implies that a performative identity is hollow.
Okay.
It might look shiny on the outside, like a gold-plated statue that's actually empty inside. It knocks over easily. It needs constant propping up from external validation likes, compliments, status.
Right.
But an identity formed in the dark, through unseen repetition, that's solid stone. It has gravity. It doesn't need anyone to tell it that it's real.
Because the work itself was the point. It doesn't need the applause to complete the cycle.
Right. And this is where the learner profile needs to lean in. We are taught that the story of fitness is the transformation. I was this, now I am this.
It's a linear narrative of visual improvement.
Totally. The source wants to tell a different story, a story of consistency, care, and sacrifice.
The obedience is something deeper than motivation. That line stuck with me. Because motivation is garbage, frankly. It's a mood.
It comes and goes.
Exactly. Right. But obedience, that sounds, well, it sounds religious.
It is, in the broad sense of the word. It implies a hierarchy of values. You are obedient to your commitment, not your feelings. The source says the goal isn't to ask someone to perform for the camera.
But to invite them to stand in who they already are.
Yes.
That implies the person exists before the photo was taken. The photo isn't making them a fit person. It's just documenting the person who was already forged in the dark.
Exactly. And that's why the validation comes from the inside out, not the outside in. The creator, Will, mentions that for him, this moment of being seen without pressure is deeply spiritual.
And he doesn't shy away from that word spiritual either. He says point blank, I don't compartmentalize this.
This is a critical point that we often gloss over. We live in such a fragmented society.
We do.
You have your work self, your gym self, your family self, and maybe your spiritual self on weekends. And they rarely talk to each other. Your gym self is vain and aggressive. Your spiritual self is humble and quiet.
It's exhausting keeping them separate. It's like juggling four different masks.
It creates cognitive dissonance. And the source argues for integration. He says his faith isn't a performance or an appearance, again, rejecting that billboard idea, but a responsibility.
So his craft, the photography, the clothing, the fitness, it's all an extension of his worldview.
Precisely. And he mentions that the branding terms, discipline, stewardship, weren't marketing terms he A-B tested.
Right. He didn't sit in a boardroom and say, hey, stewardship is trending. Let's slap that on a t-shirt.
No. These were beliefs that existed long before the brand.
Mm-hmm.
The brand is just the downstream effect of the belief system.
Which is probably why it feels different than just buying a live, laugh, love sign for your gym wall. It feels rooted. But the text also admits, and I respect this, that this isn't for everyone.
It explicitly says this layer isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
And honestly, it can't be.
No.
If you are just looking for a quick dopamine hit or you just want to look hot for summer, this philosophy is going to feel heavy. It's going to feel like overkill.
It's like trying to read Dostoevsky when you just wanted a comic book.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The source identifies the target audience as those who feel the way to discipline and want to be seen without being displayed.
That is such a subtle, nuanced distinction. Seen without being displayed. Can you unpack that a bit more? Because they sound similar.
Think about a zoo animal versus a person having a conversation.
Okay.
The zoo animal is displayed. It is an object to be looked at. It is passive. The viewer holds all the power.
Right.
To be seen is relational. It's active. It acknowledges your humanity and your depth. The source wants to capture people who are aligning their outer discipline with their inner values.
Alignment, that's the word. It's about the outside matching the inside.
Yes.
If your outside is ripped, but your inside is fragile and insecure, there's no alignment. If your outside is disciplined because your inside is stewarding a gift, that's alignment.
And that alignment is what gives you that gravity we talked about. It makes you unshakable. Because if your fitness is based on how you look, one bad week, one injury, or just simply aging will destroy your identity.
Right.
But if your fitness is based on stewardship, you can steward an injured body. You can steward an aging body. The mission doesn't change just because the aesthetic changes.
Man, that is a reframing. It makes the whole endeavor sustainable. It stops being a race against time and starts being a practice of care.
It turns fitness into a lifelong craft rather than a frantic sprint.
So we've gone from mocking the title Fit Fashion to basically deconstructing the human ego and rebuilding it on a foundation of stewardship.
Just a light Tuesday afternoon for us.
We like to keep it light. But really, looking back at the mission of this deep dive, we wanted to understand that intersection of physical discipline and identity. And I think we found it.
I think so. It's in that shift from control to honor.
The shift from controlling the body to honoring the body. I think that's the takeaway that's going to stick with me when I'm debating that 5 a.m. alarm tomorrow. Am I getting up to punish myself for being lazy?
Or am I getting up to take care of the equipment?
And strangely, the action is the same. You still get up, you still do the work, but the energy fueling it is completely different.
One burns you out, the other builds you up.
So as we wrap this up, we want to leave you with a provocation. We've talked a lot about the unseen work and the idea of the quiet portrait.
We want you to run a mental simulation. Imagine that starting tomorrow, a permanent filter is applied to your life. No one can see your physical form.
No one can see your muscles, your leanness, your gains. No one will ever compliment your physique again. And social media ceases to exist.
In that world where the audience is permanently removed.
Yeah.
What does your discipline look like?
Do you still wake up early? Do you still train hard? Do you still eat with intention?
If the answer is no, then your discipline was vanity. If the answer is yes, then you are practicing stewardship.
It's a question only you can answer, and you have to answer it in the dark. Thanks for diving deep with us today. We'll see you next time.